Let's go. It is Saturday night in Death Valley. I have got one stat that you should be excited about if you're an Ole Miss fan or if you're an LSU fan, because we're going to talk about something called trends, if it means anything, and we're also going to run through the entire weekend in SEC football. So I need some energy. I don't care if you're watching on Twitter. I don't care if you're watching on Instagram. I don't care if you're watching on Facebook. I don't care. Well, I actually do care a lot if you're watching on YouTube. I need your score predictions right the frick now. Let's get to it.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
So if you're watching on YouTube, you could see that I'm dressed professionally. I decided to look like the average schmuck that goes to Vegas every week and lays down their bets because, as many of you know, I am a sports gambling fiend. Now, that does not mean I bet a whole lot. I honestly don't. This is actually the least I've wagered. I just find the numbers, the history, the trends, all of it to be very interesting. And we shared this stat on the Wednesday live stream, but I'll share it again now. Brian Kelly going into the season at LSU was 16-11 against the spread. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, every week Vegas decides to release a point spread. That's how they think the game is going to go. Not necessarily, okay? That's kind of sort of how they think it's going to go. They release a point spread to have an even amount of bets on both ends. So going into this game, Ole Miss is a 3-point favorite. Now, it's fluctuated some, but Ole Miss is predicted to win this game by 3 or more. So if you're predicting Ole Miss to win the game, they've got to win by 4 or more points. If LSU loses by 3 or less, so on and so on, you still win the bet. Or if LSU wins outright, you win the bet. Now, if you do a money line bet, it's just a straight-up win or loss thing, and it gets into a slippery slope of all these different sports gambling terms. But what sports trends can tell us is how things have gone against the number this year for both teams. LSU against the number has been mostly good, and it's mostly a good sign as a coach if you have a good record against the spread. That means all these analytic experts who set these lines every week, they are expecting you to do one thing, and you outperform it. You beat the spread. So 16-11 against the number is really good. However, LSU this year is 1-4 against the spread, where Ole Miss is 5-1 against the spread. And LSU, of course, are 3-point underdogs. So if that trend were to continue, Ole Miss would not only win the game, they will win by 4 or more points. Now, does that mean that that's necessarily how it's going to go down on Saturday night in Death Valley? Not in the freaking least bit. But I do want to share this stat from Ryan Coyle. I thought it was very interesting. Lane Kiffin is 8-2-2 as an away favorite against the spread since taking over at Ole Miss. 8-2-2. Okay. That's pretty daggum good. It's pretty daggum good in two different ways. The first is Ole Miss is not a great program. So the fact that they have been favorites this much on the road is a little surprising to me. I don't know if this is entirely accurate, if they've even played 12 games under Lane Kiffin where they have been against the spread favorites. I doubt that that's actually true. So I have some skepticisms about this, but he could be right. Nevertheless, let me make sure he's not some troll account. No, it doesn't look like he is a troll account at all. That shows you that Lane Kiffin on the road has been really good as a favorite. But then you get into a stat like this from Mikey Matuk. Shout out Mikey, center fielder, legend. You see that Brian Kelly is 20-3 coming off a bye week, and he's 12-0 in Tiger Stadium at night, including, of course, the legendary 2022 Alabama game. All right. Now, this has been one thing that people have held over Brian Kelly's head. Someone convinced me if LSU can beat Ole Miss when Brian Kelly has won one big game, of course, that being 2022 Alabama, and he's lost all the other big games at LSU. Okay, this drives me insane. This drives me absolutely insane when people move things around and say that this is a big game or this isn't a big game. Folks, every time you play a Power 5 team this season, it is a big game. You had what everyone considers to be the worst team in the SEC. You could have polled everybody before the season. Who is the worst team in the SEC? Everybody would have told you Vanderbilt. And if you would have polled everyone, who is the best team in the SEC? Everybody would probably say Georgia. Okay, they would tell you Georgia. Well, Alabama beat Georgia, and most people would have Bama in the top three. Nothing is sacred this year in the SEC. Brian Kelly also won a big game versus Missouri last season. I don't know why people want to continuously jump over that great Missouri team last year. They held it against Jaden Daniels in the Heisman that he didn't win a big game when Missouri went 11-2 with a bowl win over Ohio State. Everyone always skips over that game for whatever reason. So Brian Kelly can win big games. And guess what? I am okay when you lose big games. I'm okay with it to a certain extent. What ticks me off, and it's something that has happened to Brian Kelly, is getting blown out. We have gotten blown out probably far too many times for one to be truly comfortable with how things are going at LSU. But guess what? Blowouts happen. All right. I don't like getting blown out. I really do think that is something. Losing close is somewhat justifiable. But the only way that I'm truly going to be ticked off on Saturday night is if we get blown out and if we allow Ole Miss to score on us with little resistance. All right? I am not delusional LSU fan that thinks we're going to win every single game or that Ole Miss is truly a step down from us. They are. Historically, I think even Ole Miss fans would say that. But in terms of raw talent and blue chip ratio, these teams are equal. Yeah, you heard that right. They are equal. The only area where I see a significant talent gap in raw recruiting ranking would be on the offensive line. Other than that, this is an equal game. They probably have a higher blue chip ratio on defense than us. They probably do. So if Ole Miss beats LSU on Saturday night, I'm not saying I'm okay with it. I'm not saying that I won't be mad. But what I will tell you is it wouldn't shock any one of us if we were to lose Saturday night. Now, as many of you know, we did something a little bit different. I dropped a surprise film study breakdown, LSU versus Ole Miss, on how I think this game is going to go down. Do I think LSU and Ole Miss is a game where Ole Miss is just going to run it up and down our throats through the pass and the run, I do think it's plausible. I do. I really, really, really do. Ask yourself this question with this Ole Miss offense. And look, Blake and I went at it on his show earlier this week. He thinks going into this game that the Ole Miss offense is a little overvalued. And there is a lot of data that kind of backs that up, including having an unreal soft start to the schedule. And then obviously having their issues these past couple of games. 27 points versus South Carolina. And then, of course, the week before, getting shut down by Kentucky. But what do we know about Kentucky? Kentucky's not played a bad defensive game this season. They held Georgia to 13 points. Maybe Kentucky's defense is that good. And it's not as if Kentucky's defense being good is necessarily a surprise. Everyone knows they probably have the best DT in the SEC. And I think anyone with a pulse would recognize they have a top five defensive line in the SEC. So maybe the Ole Miss offense just was punched in the mouth because they played bottom 100 defenses, basically. And then, bam, you finally play defense with a pulse. And then the South Carolina game, I thought, was fine. You know, the health of Trey Harris really does change things for this game in particular because we don't have a guy on our team that can guard Trey Harris. We do, however, have guys on our team that can guard everyone else. We can get Juice Wells. We can get Watkins, number 11, who was key in the game last year versus us. But what I want to see in particular are two guys that had really bad games last year actually lead and step up and make plays this weekend. That is Major Burns and that is Sage Ryan. Not only do they have experience versus Lane Kiffin, they have multiple years of experience versus Lane Kiffin. I mean, both of these guys have played him. You know, Sage has played him three times now, and Major Burns has played him twice. Can we get these guys to step up, communicate, and pass off rounds? One thing that the Ole Miss Rebels force you to do is you really have to think. You've got to think. You've got to process information quickly, and you also cannot be fooled. And this part of the film study, which I released on Twitter earlier today, shocked, I didn't say shocked, but it explained a term that I use quite often with my favorite play callers, and that's sequencing. Sequencing is so important when it comes to play calling. And basically, it is what it says it is. What you do on one play can change to the next. And there might not be anyone better at sequencing than Lane Kiffin. He'll show you a second down and five, run to the left. And then on first down, call a completely different play. And then on second down, show the exact same play, but run something different out of it. That's sequencing. Sometimes it's not, so some people think sequencing, it's effective only when you do the plays back to back. Sometimes the sequencing of a play call is better served running it one time in the first quarter and then running it one time in the fourth quarter. Arkansas actually did this versus Tennessee and it worked. And the funny thing is the design of it worked. The players failed to execute it, right? And that obviously fires up an offensive coordinator more than anyone else. But the best OCs sequence and what you have to do when you play these teams is do your job. Every single coach, when there is a defensive catastrophe, what do they say? They say, do your job. Okay? You better believe, Mr. Crane, we are very much relying on Major Burns in this game. Carter, is it a sure thing Ole Miss is the best team we've played so far? Because I'd say it's a toss-up with USC. South Carolina? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, the Trojans haven't really looked that great, obviously, since we played them. And, you know, they lost to a quarterback who threw for 30 yards. So I would say the Rebels, if they played USC today, that they would probably be on a neutral field. They would probably be 4.5-point favorites. I think that's about where they would be. Okay. But are they better than USC? Well, we won't really know until USC plays a really good Penn State team this year. And like I said, one thing I'm really excited about in college football is a lot of these a lot of these vintage college football brands are really good this year. Or they have a resurgence, right? Miami, Nebraska, Tennessee, Penn State. It's good, man. Good in particular for our old timers. Right? USC right now 3-2. They lost to Minnesota last week. The thing that's interesting about USC is offensively, they've not really exploded outside of one game this year where they put up 48 points versus Utah State. Now, they did put up 38 on Wisconsin. That Wisconsin team, of course, has been reeling. They lost their quarterback for the season in week 2. But there you go. Now, next thing. We'll talk about the other SEC games here in just a moment. I do want to get into one before we dive a little bit deeper in this LSU-USC matchup. Let's bring up one very underrated thing when it comes to this weekend's games in the SEC. Is that there are some teams that play in tough games that you have to play in the coming weeks. And that will really determine if these teams are really anything. We saw what Florida did last week versus UCF. We saw what Florida did a few weeks ago versus, albeit a not so great, Mississippi State team. The Gators obviously have an identity issue with the quarterback situation and a fluctuating, is this head coach really on the hot seat situation? I don't know. But if Florida goes on the road and beats Tennessee this weekend, they look to be for real. And then, of course, on the schedule this weekend in the SEC, you have Alabama. Okay, Alabama will play South Carolina. And what's going to be interesting, can South Carolina keep this game competitive? It's a 21-point spread. Let's just say Alabama blows South Carolina out and Ole Miss blows South Carolina out like they did last week. Then you should be semi-worried if you're an LSU fan, just semi. But as many of you know, SEC this year has been very, 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 very week to week. But to me, the most interesting game over this weekend is going to be Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Right? Alabama was a team this past weekend coming off an epic hangover. There will never be a hangover bigger than Vanderbilt's hangover after beating Alabama. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is Vanderbilt, to me, is out of the playoff race. All right, they have 2 losses. Of course, if they magically were to win out, they would be in the SEC championship game, right? They would be in the SEC championship game. They got very unlucky versus Missouri, and they lost a close game at Georgia State. So I guess if they were to win out, they could get in the playoff. Diego Pavia has been trying to get everyone on the team, their quarterback, to focus in. But what would be interesting is if Vanderbilt were to win this game, they become an even more serious competitor for LSU towards the end of the season. So that's why the other SEC games to me are big. Let's go to Chance. Can we guard and injure Trey Harris? Yes. If he's banged up, it does help. Dart has force-fed him quite a few times this year. Okay. Let's see. I want to chat just a little bit about the Tiger Stadium atmosphere. All right, so we had our guest on who was there for South Alabama a few weeks ago, Michael Barkley, the CFB campus tour expert. Right, he goes to about 7 stadiums per week, and this guy is ridiculous. Tiger Stadium is going to be absolutely electric. This kind of feels like something, right? I understand nothing will ever get bigger when it comes to Tiger Stadium than Alabama coming to town, right? And there's a lot of different reasons for it. But Ole Miss, especially with how the game ended last year, is going to be straight fire. First night game in Tiger Stadium, first SEC game in Tiger Stadium. Also, potentially, the first Chris Hilton signing in Tiger Stadium. Whatever the case may be, whatever excites you the most about this weekend, understand that the home field advantage will be there. And a home field advantage at night is crazy. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, the worst position to play on the road, to me, is offensive line. I will never, ever get off that opinion. Defensively, not really a whole lot changes for you on the road because, look, do you have the crowd noise advantage at home? Yeah. But defensively, you're rotating in and out. Right, you're in different positions throughout the course of the game. For an offensive lineman, though, you're playing every single snap. Communication is a huge, huge part of your job, especially with simulated pressures, twist stunts, and all of that. And you're the biggest, most out-of-shape guys that play, and you play every single snap. And Ole Miss does run a lot of Wildcat with a 300-pound defensive tackle at Wildcat quarterback. So they'll do that 2 or 3 times in short yardage and in the red zone. So your offensive linemen are literally playing the most snaps. Tiger Stadium needs to be loud and proud because I actually do watch and do film studies on other schools and other teams on Power Hour SEC. And a lot of you also watch other SEC games. And with LSU on the bye week, quite a few of you probably watched that Arkansas-Tennessee game. 5 million people did. It was one of the highest rated games of the weekend. Herbie and Fowler on the call. 5+ million people watched that. And I will say this to your face, the same way I said this on both my Arkansas and Tennessee shows on Power Hour SEC, the difference in the game was the crowd. Because in that game, Campbell, number 74, the right tackle for Tennessee, played terrible football. And he is not a bad football player, but he was atrocious. He couldn't hear the snaps. He was getting slow starts off the ball. He couldn't block twists. He was getting beat off. I mean, he was losing every type of rep. But as much as it pains me to say it, LSU transfer Lance Hurd, coming off multiple games of injury, was even worse. He was even worse. Got beat all night long, in particular later in the game, which makes a lot of sense because he's not been playing, not in game shape probably. he got very tired. And they were slow coming off the football. Now, after watching Ole Miss's offense and putting together the film study from earlier today, the weakness of that group is up the middle. I think their offensive tackles are okay. I don't know any of these guys by name. But what I can tell you is the middle of their offensive line really struggled. And I mean really struggled. And look, Jackson Dart, he is definitely a quarterback that can throw over it. He doesn't mind throwing with pressure in his face because he's had to. You can go and watch all the South Carolina completions for yourself. There were a lot of guys in his face as he was throwing the football. Now, some of it was because of the play design and the longer developing nature of it. But I really want everybody that's going to the game this weekend to hear me out. It is going to be imperative that you are loud, and it's going to be imperative that you stay till the end. Well, I gotta be traffic. And look, you bought a ticket, it's in your right to do so. But you don't have to, you can't blame the weather. You cannot blame the weather this time. That excuse is sayonara, out the door. But I got church in the morning. God will be there. Not saying church isn't important, but guess what? God is with you at all times. And I think most would say the closest thing to a holy ground that we have in Louisiana is Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night. You'll get to church on time. But my roommate got drunk. Sounds like a personal problem to me. Doesn't mean you have to go. Call your other roommate. Meet him at the gate. Tell him to go home. Stay at the game. But my cell phone ran out of juice. Bring a portable phone charger. It is the year 2024. And you do not have a portable phone charger. What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? But I'm tired. Really? You're tired? But guess what? Sit in your seat and take a damn nap and get your ass up for the fourth quarter. But I want to go to Fred's. What? Fred's is packed. You go in there and buying two Bloody Marys, Fred's is going to get theirs. You don't have to help them. They want your ass to stay the game. They're packed enough. Stay your ass at the game. You don't have Rady Baker to blame getting your ass cooked like you were in the UCLA game. There's none of that. But it's dangerous at night to go home. Really? It is. But wouldn't you think being safer walking back to your car would be when everybody's leaving at the end? I mean, you hear every last excuse as to why people leave early. Sun, heat, I get it. But not a night game. You're going to be in traffic anyway. Well, I got to drive all the way back to West Monroe. Okay. Buy your ass some 5-hour energies. And listen to the PHL postgame show. Hmm. 100 years in Death Valley. Now, coming up after this, we'll talk about CJ Daniels. Okay, what do I know?
We'll be right back.
Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first-round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top-5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Alrighty, so CJ Daniels. I referenced this last week that he was banged up. I didn't mention him by name, but I had heard he was banged up. What was interesting was there was two different sources. One said that he would be out until the Alabama game. And then another said it's not really too serious. And I was also told that it did indeed happen in the actual South Alabama game. Okay. So like I've always said, I'm not much of an insider. It's not really, you know, my thing for a lot of different reasons. I don't really think there's as much upside in being the insider, especially when it comes to injury information. And I also am privy to the sports medicine injury. Now, industry, I'm not a doctor. There was a big controversy on this about Twitter, where there's this Twitter doctor who thinks he can diagnose every single injury that happens on the field. And he got in a back and forth over Green Bay Packers wide receiver Christian Watson's injury. And little did he know he was going back and forth with Christian Watson's dad. Okay. Wouldn't you think that the dad would have the correct information compared to some doctor watching it on TV? The truth is, a lot of doctors can accurately predict how serious something is by looking at it on TV, but you can't know. It is impossible to know until you actually get XRIs or a closer examination right after it's over. So with CJ, I didn't remember a play in the game. And look, it might have been in practice. So but the bottom line is I don't remember really any moment where I saw him get banged up. Okay. So, you know, I let's be real. Is he a big loss to this team? Yes. Yes. Because Kyle Parker is out. All right. He's been hurt two separate times in games now. I think he was banged up in this last game versus South Alabama. And then, of course, he was out in the first series versus USC. So it's tough for him to stay healthy. He's still a young player. he was younger for the class that he was in, and he's a young sophomore, and he's not that big. So, you know, he's playing a lot because Chris Hilton's not been available. What about Chris Hilton's status? Well, like we said last night, you don't feel overly confident about this when, you know, Brian Kelly is saying in the press conferences, hey, it's one of these things that's slowly coming along. This the healing process has been a little bit slower than what we initially thought. All right. And then, of course, you have the wide receiver room that is behind those three guys, which isn't much. All right. Shelton Sampson has yet to catch a pass in his career at LSU. You have Jelani Watkins, and you have Kylan Billiott in that room as well. Landon Ibieta is listed as out, but he wasn't really a factor here. So this becomes more important for Aaron Anderson to continue playing at the level he's been playing. And then, of course, Kyren Lacy, who had a gigantic game last year versus Ole Miss. So really excited about those two. Really excited about Mason Taylor as well. And maybe this opens the door for more Kamarion Pimpton, and in particular, more Tre'Davious Green. And then we also had the probable situation here with the great Caden Durham. I think he'll be fine. Okay? I think he'll be fine. Skoda Tony the Tiger, good to see you. The PHL fam, welcome in. Chance says, the one time I left an LSU game early, you regretted it, 1996, Kev Fall comeback versus Houston. I do not recall the specifics of this game, but I will be staying up all night to watch it now. Let's see. Game day guest picker is Caitlin Olson from Always Sunny. Is that the show? Always Sunny in Philadelphia? I'm just not familiar with Caitlin Olson. You tell me. Uh-oh.
Lee, Master Blaster. What's up, Tony?
Tony! I love it. Don't forget. Live streams. Tuesdays, 8:15. Wednesdays, 6. Thursdays, 5 p.m. Central. Let's go. I'm so freaking excited about Spencer Rattler this weekend, too. I'm excited to see what he's got, man. Could just be that I've always kind of been an anti-Derek Carr guy. Do I think Spencer is going to succeed? Odds are against him. Chance says, I see almost all national media picking Ole Miss. Maybe they're onto something. I'm serious. Maybe they know something we don't.
But,
you know, going into the 2022 Bama game, how many people were really confident in LSU winning that game? Not many. Not many. Okay. We got a bunch of Tonys in here. Let's go. We do have a lot of Tonys here on PHL. But I'll also say this about Trey Harris not being there. Is you could have a Ewing theory situation where, yes, Ole Miss, if they're going to truly win the national championship, they need Trey Harris. But for a one-game sample, maybe that opens up Jackson Dart just a little bit into throwing to other guys. Because, look, this effect can happen to a lot of quarterbacks where you have one prodigiously talented receiver and you just force feed them over and over and over again. Now, I want to run through a few jersey numbers before this weekend. All right. And oftentimes, the primetime players with a jersey number on one side of the football is the same on the other side because of the double number stuff. But first, we go to Roby. Derek Carr and B.I. need to be run out of town. They're bringing the city down. Thank you for the first time super chat of the evening, Mr. Roby. Michael Roby! I thought it was interesting when Fear the Brown, one of my favorite Pelicans writers, he said, your starting lineup could very well feature Herb Jones as the center, as a five, in the small ball revolution, right? So Herb Jones at the five, Zion at the four, and then obviously Brandon, Deontay, and CJ as your guards. And Trey coming off the bench, Alvarado coming off the bench. Everyone always talked about with the Pelicans. Everyone's talking about now. The Pelicans don't have a center. It is what it is. Now, I do think, though, the key players for Ole Miss, these are the jersey numbers you need to know. Obviously, Jackson Dart wears number two. Number two on defense is also big. Walter Nolan. All right. That's your DT. Now, number 15 on defense, Ivy, is a good player. Number one on defense, Princely, an edge player, is also a really good player. Now, we go throughout that offensive side of the football. 11, Watkins is one of their key receivers. 3, Wells, the transfer from South Carolina, is another one of their good receivers, Juice Wells. And then you have number 86, Prescorn, their tight end, who's been really good this year. Okay, so Prescorn, really good football player. 54 on the line, though, is exploitable over the middle. Just FYI. Okay. We go to the Master Blaster with the Super Chat. Carter, my man Chris Hilton is good to go for this game. What are your thoughts on the impact of him playing? Once again, I am not going to say he's playing until I actually see him dressed out. That's just how it is. Like, I just will not say. I have seen the injury report. I've seen the probable question. I mean, with him, when he dresses out is when I'm going to expect him to play. Okay. Now, the impact of him playing probably isn't going to be as much as one would think because it is his first game back. And if he is, you know, coming back from injury, maybe it's going to take him a little while to shake the rust off. But him and Garrett, of course, have good chemistry, as evidenced in the Wisconsin game. He also got open on other plays in that Wisconsin game, and he was just missed. And I think you could see Chris have that game. Now, what makes it interesting is we talk so much about the demons being exercised for the Ole Miss defense, or the LSU defense versus Ole Miss. Okay. However, we're not talking about Chris Hilton. First quarter, huge drop, where Jaden threw probably the best post he had thrown all season. And Chris, if he just kept running, he would have just glided right into the catch and scored. He didn't need to dive, right? He had that issue on deep balls early in his career, leaving his feet for no reason, okay, to catch a pass. So he dropped that pass. And then at the end, on the Hail Mary, it was catchable. Now, was he interfered with? Yes. Are there very few wide receivers on the planet Earth that could have made that catch? Yes. Like, DeAndre Hopkins is making that catch. You know, if BTJ was in that spot, he's definitely coming down with that. Now, here's an old school Hail Mary expert. Jeff Janis of the Green Bay Packers is making that catch. But there's not many players that are making that play, but it was makeable. And if he would have made that catch, there wouldn't have been a debate for the Heisman Trophy at the end of the season with Jaden Daniels. There just wouldn't have been. It would have been impossible for him to not win the Heisman after that. It still should have been impossible for him to not win the Heisman. Okay? But I'm telling you right now, if Chris would have come down with that, knowing LSU's history with these miraculous plays, and when it comes down to LSU athletics, now baseball more so than football, because baseball, LSU baseball doesn't make sense. It's not even a real sport. It's a lot of talent mixed with witchcraft. That is the magic of LSU baseball fandom. Okay, they have had the most exciting endings of any college team I think I've ever seen. Okay, but LSU football, obviously, you have the Bluegrass Miracle, you have 3rd and 17. There's so many of these crazy, crazy endings, some of which did not go in LSU's favor. But if Chris Hilton makes that catch, I mean, dude, they are we're telling our grandchildren about that play. But he was interfered with, and it should have been a flag. It should have been a flag. Okay? And to kind of add into it, he got hurt. He got hurt when he landed. But that's how ridiculous Jaden was. That's how ridiculous he was, man. That play was ridiculous, man. All right. What is your biggest takeaway? What is your biggest takeaway or your biggest lock for this weekend in college football? You know, a lot of people are billing this as such a crazy weekend. You know, next week is kind of stolen that thunder because you do have Texas and Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee. And then you have LSU, Arkansas, the Golden Boot. So you can make a strong case that the next weekend is better. Especially with Oklahoma not being as good as we thought and USC kind of tailing off here. Yeah, Heupel's had some issues with Florida, right? What was it? 3 years ago in Gainesville, Emory Jones kind of just ran away with it. And then 2 years ago, Anthony Richardson mounted like a crazy comeback versus that legendary 2022 Tennessee team. And then last year, they just got the brakes blown off of them as 9-point underdogs. And that was one of the heaviest bet games I've ever had. I was like, oh, man, this just – Gators are just going to roll here. So, Florida could get interesting. But what is your lock? The hardest thing about being a sports card fan and an LSU fan is when people send you, do you want to buy their Jaden Daniels cards? And I'm like, I'm not Logan Paul over here. I'm not Mr. Beast. That is out of my price range. So all these LSU players, I mean, this, honest to God, I mean, how many seasons of pro football have there been where this many LSU players are playing at this high of a level? All right. Now, of course, it is a little bit more offensive heavy than defensive heavy. There's been quite a few LSU players that have had disappointing defensive seasons. Devin White, of course, being one of them. But offense, well, it's crazy. Like Joe Burrow's having the best season of his career. Ja'Marr Chase is playing ridiculous. Jaden is Jaden. BTJ's exceeding expectations. Malik Nabers. You know, the LSU offensive lineman that got big deals. Carolina's offensive line's the best they've ever been. They added Damian Lewis. Well, not best they've ever been, but better than what they were last year. And then Lloyd Cushenberry, I think's done fine with Tennessee. I don't watch a whole lot of Titans. But you know, this season's ridiculous. You know, Foster Moreau's caught him a few tutties. It's been a crazy, crazy, crazy LSU NFL year. And obviously, Tyrann Mathieu, statistically, he's had a really good season. Okay. Let's go to Josh Mell. What would you recommend for tailgating and game day experience? All the games I've been to were day games, and I wasn't able to tailgate prior due to work constrictions. I'll be there all day this time. So, Josh, let me see. It's kind of tough. All right, so let me think about this before I answer it, okay? I know you don't do baseball cards, but what is the average price for Paul Skene's rookie cards? It's also very expensive. He's probably the most expensive baseball player. I don't do baseball cards. Pitchers rarely go for as much as the hitters do, but obviously Ohtani is just by far the most expensive, and then you have I think Skene's would probably be number two right now behind just him. But it might be a good time to buy Paul because he's not in the World Series right now. So you'd have to monitor the market, but he is expensive. He's very, very, very expensive. So, Josh, listen, the first thing you have to ask yourself as far as the tailgating experience is, do you know anyone that's actually going to the game? All right. Do you know anyone that is going? All right. If you do, ask them where they are tailgating. Okay. So Josh says, no, unfortunately, I do not. Well, Josh, if I was going, I would tell you just to tag along with me. I go to quite a few tailgates. So I will do this for you, Josh. Okay, Josh. Let me ask you this, Josh. How many people are you rolling with? Let me see what I can get working for you here. Is it just you and your son, you and the wife, you and the family, daughter, uncle, brother? Okay. Me and your cousin. All right, here's what you're going to do. So, if anyone is hosting a tailgate, that's a PHL subscriber, hit me up if you have room for two more. And host Josh, who's never had an LSU tailgate experience. And Josh, where are you coming from? Okay. And I might be able, you might be able to find someone. Okay. Josh, if someone reaches out to me and invites you to the tailgate, like, I just want to put it out there. I don't know if I'm just going to reach out to someone like specifically and say it, but if someone watching this is on a tailgate and they are willing to add two more, watch. But you can also, and it's kind of tougher to do this and people like kind of put it out there to be, but you could probably vibe in with a certain tailgate somewhere. Right. Yeah, let me know where you're coming from. Oh, you're coming from Pensacola, Florida. Well, first off, I hope you're safe. But yeah, Josh. So what you need to do, if this does end up going in your favor, Josh, shoot me a message, powerhourlsu@gmail.com. And email me there, and someone might be able to hook you up. I did my part. And Josh, how long have you been watching the channel, or is this your first time and you're like, hey, look, LSU football guy, I know he's going to know somebody. Everybody at the bar at Bon Temps. Wait, so is this in Laffy, the 337? Tony, where are you going to be tailgating before the game? I don't think Tony tailgates. I think he just hangs out and goes to the game. There are quite a, like, so like my father goes to a ton of games. He does not tailgate. It's just not a thing. He just goes to the game. So everyone at the bar at Bon Temps is listening to me. I show some love to the Bon Temps. A low-key Thursday live. Bon Temps Grill. I normally charge quite a bit for this. Is this Bon? Okay, here we go. I actually don't charge all that much. So Bon Temps, if you want to join the PHL fam, let me know, man. Laissez les bon temps rouler. Yes, of course, it's bon temps. Laissez les bon temps. Bon temps. Bon temps. Laissez les bon temps rouler. We have a bunch of Tennessee fans. Could y'all imagine Cassie from last night? Yeah, we ate at the Bone Temps. Cassie's the best. All right. So what are we ordering here at Bon? Les Bon Temps. At the Bon Temps. Oh, we got sausage and boudin. Shrimp. Okay, blackened chicken. Okay, this looks like my kind of place. Well, tell the good folks at Bon Temps, I'll come down there and do a show sometime. Crawfish enchiladas? Now that sounds good. Two flour tortillas filled with crawfish and cheese. So, Tony, how fire is this place? Oh, look, it says I can call now. Should I call him on the air right now? Let's see. Cream brulee cheesecake. I love it. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Since this is making me hungry because I'm a chubby young man, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. I'm going to try and find one of our PHLers a tailgate to go to. But if you super chat, we'll keep it going. Yes, that's right, Chance. That's what Cassie always says, honey. We're going to the Bon Temps. Am I ordering for everyone? Yeah. A napkin for Pegasus and a salt shaker for Chance. I'm going to hook my guy Josh up with a water. yeah, Bon Temps, hit me up, man. Okay. Now I've seen quite a few. Talk about Ole Miss's defense and the sack rates and stuff. LSU has a low sack rate in the SEC per SEC StatCat. Garrett Nussmeier has not only low sack rate, low pressure to sack rate. Okay. We will be fine offensively. We will be. And Caden Durham, we trust. And Mason Tyler, we trust. Okay. Now, that'll just about do it for me. Michael wants to know what type of uniforms we are wearing. So this is normally a good rule of thumb when it comes to uniforms. If it's a big game, LSU is going to be wearing gold helmets, white tops, gold pants. Any big, big game. It's going to be white top or white jersey, gold helmet, gold pants. All right. So LSU A&M last year, that's a big game, right? But that's not a big, big game. It's not a top 10 matchup. LSU wore all white. All right. Rarely are you going to see a purple jersey for a massive game. And also, it behooves the other team because they prefer to wear their home uniforms, right? And of course, UCLA and the 100-degree temperatures forced LSU to wear their purple unis, which pissed me off because it prevented an all-time great jersey number or jersey color match. I love how Pegasus spelled Mason like Mason Smith. I like it. Shout out Mason. Shout out Dr. Morgan. No, the purple jerseys were worn for the earthquake game. You're all right. Okay. But yes, I would lean more towards Mason Taylor going to the NFL than coming back. Because you really would have to ask the question, what else would he need to prove and what else could he do based on what he's already done up to this point to improve his draft stock anymore? And honestly, there's nothing. There's really nothing. Okay. You know, he's getting even more vertical on pass attempts. Yeah, Chance, that's a good question. I've never really been a huge fan of Ole Miss's uniforms. I just haven't, you know, the red, white, and blue uniforms have never really, like done it for me. Like, and I know, like, a lot of people would say, well, you're a patriotic. No, it has nothing to do with that. Like, Team USA through and through, I have a lot of Team USA uniforms, soccer uniforms over here, but I don't know. I've never really like the Buffalo Bills uniforms never really have done it for me. The New England Patriots uniforms haven't really done it for me. All right. Ole Miss's uniforms haven't really done it for me. I don't like red uniforms in general because they are so common. But I guess if I had to choose, it does seem, Chance, we have played Ole Miss quite a bit when they've worn the light blue. Like the last two times we've played them, they've worn the light blue. But I don't know. TT, what's good? What's good, bro? All right, we'll take a few more before we get out of here. They wore red in Death Valley. Oh, they wore red. They did. They did. So why am I thinking light blue? I don't. The funny thing is, I have this photo of Harold Perkins sitting over Jackson Dart, and I've had it out, but I just stored it. I've looked at that photo for so long. Why would I think? I don't know. I'm an idiot. That's why I have you guys. Eli Manning wore navy blue. That Jamarcus Russell game in Tiger Stadium was navy blue as well, right? The Patrick Willis game where you scoop Justin Vincent. So there you go. Now, don't forget, pregame, halftime, postgame shows. If you want to support me right now, guess what? All right. This is honestly very, very, very simple to do. If you've not done this already, please, please go watch my film study. LSU versus Ole Miss. How to stop Jackson Dart. And on Patreon, we have the full Patreon breakdown. LSU's offense versus Ole Miss's defense. There is a run concept that I think Joe Sloan should use versus his Ole Miss defense that I think works well and works against some of the strengths of the Ole Miss defense. And guess what? It's free on Patreon until the morning. Okay, then it'll lock up just for the paid subscribers. All right. So please, it is free. But if you pay, you get access to the Discord, you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail, you get my extra film studies, my game grades, all the extra lanyap. Okay? It is! Pow! Out! LSU! Boom! Final score. Let's go through a few SEC games here at the end. Alabama blows out South Carolina. Tennessee wins versus Florida ugly. Kentucky beats Vanderbilt. Okay, we'll do that. Oklahoma plays Texas interestingly tight. And LSU Ole Miss play a legendary game. Final score, LSU Ole Miss. Tigers 37, Ole Miss 35. Let's get weird. Game-winning two-point conversion in overtime to Aaron Anderson. Let's go. Big shout-out to the top super chatters, Roby, Tony, and Roby. Let's go.